My hope is in the Lord. I've just been consumed with this thought from the book of Job. Over and over again, I just get consumed with the thought that Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What a statement. God had already taken everything away from him. God had already allowed his children. In fact, God, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he believed, Job believed that God took his 10 children away from him. You say, well, the devil did it. God let him do it. God let him touch Job and his family and kill all 10 of his children. And then he lost all of his wealth. In one day, he lost all of his children. Could you imagine the Julian family losing every one of theirs in one day? Or the Estes losing every one of them in one day, only 10 instead of 7 or 8. Lost every one of them in one day. Lost every bit of wealth in one day. I was going to take the time to look at that, but I didn't take time. But I know it was sheep and camels and all the rest. The camel was the thing you rode on. That was your beast to travel on. So he lost his traveling. He lost his vehicles for that day. He lost his sheep. The she-asses. The ones that would go through the mountains and sure-footed and not fall off the mountains. Lost everything. And then many of the servants that were keeping them were killed, or they were stolen away, or fire came down from heaven and consumed them. All in one day. Now, he didn't get the boils the same day, but didn't run very far afterwards. And the devil came and presented himself again before God, along with the others. And what did he say? Well, skin for skin. He said, he'll curse you. He hasn't cursed you yet. And the devil probably in his thinking would have said, I would have thought that he would have cursed you by now. For you allowed me to take all his children. All of his maids. He said his own, they became strange to him. All of the maids. He had servants. Unbelievable. He was the richest man in the East. And the riches that he had is told in the first chapter, first few verses. He eschewed evil. He loved good. And God tested him. And so the devil said, well, skin for skin. And so he said, well, and the Lord said, well, you can touch him in his body as well, but you can't take his life. Aren't you glad that our life is in the hands of the Lord? I really believe Job thought that God was going to kill him. He did curse his day. He does speak about it here. Like, everything's against me. I might as well go. I might as well get out of this misery. And his own wife, we already told you that. She said, why don't you curse God and die? I mean, he lost all the confidence of his sweetheart, his wife. I'm sure that he'd given him all 10 of the children. And then he loses all his friends. Because when you lose your money, you usually lose all your friends. Especially if you're wealthy. They'll say, God knows there's some secret sin in their life. But not in Job's life. And in the midst of all of this, Job comes up and he says, though he slay me, though God cuts my throat, though God strikes me with a heart attack, though God kills me as he killed my 10 children, as he allowed the beast to be burned up, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's trust beyond all belief. No one else would you trust who had taken so much away from you. I say nobody in this world would you trust in who had allowed that much to be taken away from you. Oh, that we'd be like Job. His wife says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" Boy, we need to retain our integrity. Be honest with yourself. That's the thing that is so lacking, I think, in many Christians' lives. Are we honest with ourselves? Are we honest with our sin? Are we honest in what we trust in? I was thinking about how the people today are not thinking. Just like when I was a baby Christian walking the streets of Buffalo, New York, and said, people just don't think. They don't think scripturally. You don't know how many people are trusting in man instead of trusting in the Lord. I believe that Job did what the scripture said. Even my own, we are trusting in what we... Listen, you cannot be around that which is not true to the scriptures and not be affected by it. We need only pure doctrine going out from this pulpit. And only pure doctrine in our Sunday school classes. We are too weak of ourselves to not get involved emotionally, intellectually, some way with that which is not right. I think of my own daughter, Patty. And Patty told me, she said, "Dad, she said, it was not good for me to go to Fairhaven Baptist College. It was not good for me." Well, when I was a young Christian, you know what I thought? I thought, all of my children are going to go at least 1 year to a Bible college. Well, I'd like book, chapter, and verse for that, thank you. I've lived long enough. I'm 59 now. I'm rounding that 60 mark. Why does a person need to be, and this does not have to do with Jason, it has to do with anybody here, why should this fellow by the name of Nicholas spend 20 years of his life, or 15 or 16, 17, 18 years of his life under a good church, a good ministry, and why should he go off and get under other people that believe something different than he's taught right here? I'm telling you, we're going crazy on education. We've gone nuts about these things. Why should he get out from under his mother and father when he's still only 16, 17, 18 years old? He's just not hardly dried behind the ears. And he's real, you're all wet behind the ears right now, son. How can we expect our young men and young women, especially our young women, with the evils that are all around us and the evils that are even in the church? Did you hear about the Roman church and all their problems? Listen, they're in the Baptist churches too. These perverts, we just drive them out of here. My preaching does a good job on that crowd. And if you're praying for me like you ought to, when they get in here, they get out of here. And that crowd that was right here on Sunday, I'm thankful they were here. But that girl, she sure needed help. I'll tell you, she needed help from above, and we all did before we got saved. But I'll tell you what, they better deal with their sin, or their sin will deal with them. Couldn't believe they're right here in the front. Who got them up there? Maybe God did, the Holy Ghost did. Now the big black fellow, and he was receiving something. But that Anglo girl and whoever the other fellow was, I'm telling you, I don't know about them, but I know that girl. She was troubled about me, and I was glad of it. She'll never forget coming by this place. Amen. You know what the Bible says? Y'all know that a prophet's been around. Amen? They need Jesus. Or if they're saved, they need to get closer. And preaching will do it! And intellectual preaching will not do it! I'm up to my ears in this. Intellectual preaching! I think that we need, I don't care if it's Fairhaven, I don't care where it is, I think they need to get some cornbread preachers from back in the woods somewhere that can't hardly spell. And just let them preach. And they'll get those teachers all right with God. With their lack of intellect. but they'll get right under their skin if they're full of the Holy Ghost and full of prayer and full of the Word of God and full of simple things. I serve notice on you. Amos was a gatherer of sycamore fruit, but he was the man of God. Andrew, Peter, James, and John were all unlearned and ignorant men in the eyes of the world, but they'd been with Jesus, fishermen. Nothing but Holy Ghost-filled fishermen. Because they followed the King of Kings and Prince of Life. What did they say about him? Don't we know his sisters and his brothers? Is he not the carpenter's son? No, he's the son of the Almighty God. They had it wrong. He was the architect of eternity. But he wasn't a carpenter's son. He's the son of the God of glory. In fact, he was God himself, and we can't even figure that out. Job trusted. Trusted. In the Lord. I was thinking of that verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not under thine own understanding. I think Job just didn't lean under his own understanding. I think he let his feelings stay outside as much as possible with all that came upon him. He didn't lean under his own understanding. He leaned on the Word of God. He leaned on the God of the Word. He trusted in God, even if God would kill him. Because he knew some things from the Scriptures. He knew that his Redeemer liveth. That's what's told over there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Well, look at Job 13. Job 13. We'll look at a few verses and see how Job made it. Wouldn't you like to be like Job, friends? I would. I don't think I'd have done as well at all. And not to be honest with you, I don't know if one person in this whole church would have done as well as Job. For what? Remember the patience of Job. He's a great man. Greatest man of all the East, God said. Verse 15, 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him. Verse 18. Behold now, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Verse 23. How many are mine iniquities and sins, Job says. Make me to know my transgression and my sin. He was willing to deal with his sin. And he surely had sinned, though he was the best in all the East. He still failed. He still sinned. 14, verse 14. 14, 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Job says, under inspiration, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He knew he was going to be changed. He knew that if a man dies, shall he live again? You say, well, where does it tell us that? Well, over in Job, I think it's 19:10. Look over there, 19:10 and on. Job 19:10 says, he hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. Did you ever hear that? Boy, I'm gone. Probably got that from this, Job. What does it mean? Where's he gone? Gone down the road? No, means he says, I'm gone. Nothing left of me. I'm gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me. He's talking about God now. And he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. He says, God's become my enemy. I'm like one of God's enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. How would you like that? Have your kinsfolk all fail you. Fail to stand by you when you're going through trouble. And then your familiar friends, they all forget you. Oh, he's getting what he deserves. Just forget about Job. He was great one day, but his hidden sin finally got him. It's not very pleasant to be forgotten when everybody remembered you before, when everybody served you before, when everybody was your friend before, because you befriended them all, you helped them all, you helped the widows, you helped the poor ones that had no fathers and mothers, you fed the poor, you did for everybody, and now you're in trouble and they all forget you. When you lose all your children and all your wealth and all your friends, when he lost his sheep friends, listen to me, it got to the place where he lost so much, I wonder if he even had anything much in the prospect. I wonder if he had a whole lot really to eat or thoughts of the future. I mean, he just lost everything in one day. His wife probably said, we're on poverty row already. Where are we going from here, Mr. Job? Why don't you curse God and die? Listen, most pastors, when they lose a good church like this, and the church pays me regularly, tries to take care of me, gave me unbelievable birthday gift this year to make up for all those ones when I got nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. But could you imagine 3 or 6 months later, which happens to many churches, and the whole half of the church turns against the pastor, and they lose their church? You see. How well are you going to do then, Mr. Preacher? How well are you going to do when all your friends turn against you? And they said, we've heard enough of your hollering at us. Yeah, I just talked to Brother Layman not an hour ago, and Brother Layman said he had a man about 70-some years old, and the man came over with his Greek New Testament. He was going to show Brother, by the way, thank the Lord, Patty didn't lose her faith up there, though. In the Bible. I knew there were some things wrong with that place before she went. But Brother Layman went up the same place and he got a postgraduate degree. He already had his undergrad degrees. And I thank God he didn't lose his faith up there. But here he is up there in Washington State. And this older man comes over and has all his Greek New Testaments. And Brother Layman, after he went on a little bit, he says, well, let me see your books there. He said, well, this is the wrong Greek. It was probably Nestle's text. Or the wrong Greek. He said, this is the wrong Greek. So he said, I don't think you can help me because you're using the wrong Greek. All I hold to is the Textus Receptus. The text. The proper text. And you know what, this 75-year-old man? I said, how old was he? Because he didn't tell me at first. He said, 75. I said, oh, you can't help him. As young as you are. And you know what he said? He said, as soon as he got to that, and Brother Layman, I'm sure, Brother Layman's a gracious brother, but he just said, you're using the wrong text. And he said, well, I'll just look for another church. I said, you don't need that man around your church. And Brother Layman agreed with me. People will not deal with the failures in their own life, being taught the wrong thing. Then they're not very humble, are they? Some of these people, they're so haughty, and they've been instructors even in great places of learning out in California. I mean, out in Washington State. I know telling he probably taught at Fuller Theological Seminary or Cemetery or someplace. I'm telling you, we've got to trust in the Lord. We've got to trust in His Word. And we have to trust the Holy Spirit who lives within us. I'm telling you, the song that our sister sang tonight was a beautiful song, and she has a sweet voice, and it was not done professionally, and I'm glad it wasn't done professionally. It blessed my heart. Constantly abiding. And I just as soon hear that than to hear something that every note is just exactly perfect. I think even Jason missed one, or she thought he missed one. Anyhow, who cares? A man constantly abiding. And it was sweet, and it was precious, and it was good. And probably because it was, she does have such a sweet voice, it seems like to me, that probably she can, you know, as she practices and does it even better for the Lord I'm talking about. But, you know, God is, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. What you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You didn't see her shaking underneath here. And you didn't see you didn't see Mrs. Buhorn just a smiling back there, because she kept her early on, you know, and she's just so happy that her girl was up there singing. They've been running a boarding house for years. You don't realize, a Christian boarding house. I mean, that's all they've ever done over there, is keep every stray that comes along, male or female. Anyhow, okay, but mainly females. All right. And she was just delighted. Mrs. Buhorn was delighted because the Lord helped her in their house, and she was willing to listen and stay under the strong preaching and the strong teaching of Mrs. Buhorn. See, things like this are too precious to be professional. Are you with me? I can't stand all this professionalism. This is not a show. This is the worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to say sometimes we can have such perfectionism that we lose the spirit of the whole thing. But oh, when the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, even the missed notes become blessed. Oh, that we'd be wrapped up in His glory and see Him who's changed lives and made them pleasing in His sight. I'm telling you, Job lost it all, friends. They that dwell in mine own house, in verse 15, and my maids, that's what I was telling you about before, count me for a stranger. How'd you like to be treated like a stranger from your maids, the girls in your house that were waiting on you because you had so many houses and lands and wealth and herds and flocks and camels, and I don't know if they're in herds, flocks, what in the world they are, herds, I guess, of cattle. I don't know. I mean camels. You can have them all. I don't want any camel meat either. Have all that mess. Unless I go over there, then I probably want to ride across the desert, but I don't care to go to the desert. I want to go to a place where it's lush and green. Anyhow, what does it say? Maids, count me for a stranger, and am an alien in their sight. A stranger and an alien, one that's not even from the same country. My breath is strange to my wife. That doesn't mean he has bad breath. They didn't have breath mints back then. Wake up. Study your Bible. Amen? They didn't worry about how they smelled the other people and their breath. I thought about the disciples. They didn't care about all that. All they wanted is to have the Word of God on their lips and the power of God as they pronounced the Word. And the accuracy of the quoting of the Scriptures that they'd heard it from the mouth of the Master Himself. And then the prophets as they preached what God gave them in the Old Testament days. Though I entreated for my children's sake of mine own body, yea, young children despised me. How'd you like little children to despise you? I arose and they spake against me. Even the little children were against him. His maids were against him. His wife was against him. But God was for him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody understood Job, but God understood Job. For it was God that was testing him and trying him and really putting him to the test. And he came forth as pure gold. He did as well as anybody living could have ever done because of only one thing. He knew the Lord and he trusted him, though he even was thinking he was going to kill him. He said, I'll trust him even if he kills me. I know he's worthy of all my trust. He trusted in the Lord with all his heart and did not lean unto his own fancies, his own feelings, his own understanding. He just trusted to the Word of God and what he knew about God. And he made it through. Look, we got to go a little further. All my inward friends abhorred me. Inward friends. And they whom I loved are turned against me. His loved ones turned against him. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. That's where we get that from. I like that. Skin of my teeth. You say, what does it mean? Do we have skin on our teeth? I don't know. I just like it. And I like it in my Bible, and I don't want them to take that out of my Bible, because that's a little cliche. Just like the old battle axe. How many ever heard about the old battle axe? That's in the Bible. Who ever heard of a drop of a bucket? A drop in a bucket. Sure, it's right in the Bible. And I don't want the scene, birth of Christ in Luke 2 to be changed. It's been pronounced so much that we almost, even the heathen almost know it by heart. They sing Amazing Grace so much in so many places, they almost think that Amazing Grace is Scripture. Amen? Really? Even the world sings it. We have so many things in Scripture. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. We're getting down to it now. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Oh, there they are, printed in a book. Printed in a book! He got his prayer request. Printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Hallelujah, this word of God's, the book of Job's, in the, it's just there forever. It's written down by God Almighty. And she'll be there when the world's on fire, the book of Job. God's dealing with Job. For I know, he says, he wishes it was lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. How in the world did he know that? God told him so. Either through the writings somewhere else, or through actually coming down and speaking to him, or through some preacher, some prophet. I know one thing. God told him that he was alive forevermore. And he told him some more too. We've got it right here. Look at it. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. Latter day upon the earth. And though... Here's another though. Not though he slay me, but though death comes, get this, and though after my flesh worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He knew he was going to see God, and this God was the Redeemer, and he ever liveth. He's alive forever. Look what he says. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold this God, this Redeemer, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. In other words, though all my sinews and all my cartilage and everything else, he says, though my skin worms destroy this body, and though this all goes down under, though my reins be consumed within me. Look what he says. But ye say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishment of the sword. Look at what he says. Here's another thing he knows. That ye may know there is a judgment. He knew there was a judgment day coming. And he knew he was true to God. And God will always do right with those that serve him with all their heart and trust him with all their being. The God of the universe will do right. He'll always do right. In Isaiah 26:4, it says, trust ye in the Lord forever. in Isaiah 31:1, it says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong." Oh, all I have is but there. So let's look over there at Isaiah. I didn't get the rest of it. Let's look at the rest. We need to see the rest of that. If I'll get the right place here. 31. You maybe got over there and I didn't. 31. Isaiah 31. Verse number 1. "But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Isn't that the way it is today? They're trusting in chariots. They're trusting in horses. They're trusting in Egypt. How many times they wanted to go back to Egypt, make a leader and go back to Egypt. They even went down into Egypt when Jeremiah said, "Don't go down in Egypt, just remain in Jerusalem and the Lord will take care of you." No, they had to go down to Jerusalem, into Egypt, and they probably took Jeremiah with them, and Jeremiah probably died in Egypt because of the lack of faith of those people. He tells them to give themselves up to the Babylonians, Chaldeans. They wouldn't do that. Hardly any of them did. Then he tells them not to go down into Egypt and just stay where you stay put. No, they had to get up and go down into Egypt. They had to trust in Egypt. How many times they trusted in Egypt? "But they looked not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither did they seek the Lord." That's the way people are today. It says in Micah 7:5, "Trust ye not in a friend." But Jonadab, but he had a friend. But he had a friend. Amnon had a friend. His name was Jonadab. And he was a subtle man. He said, "Just go into your sister and everything will be all right." And everything was all wrong. But he had a friend. What did Jesus say to Judas as he came out? "Friend, this is different than the friend that Abraham said, that Abraham was the friend of God. It's a big difference. You better just find out who your friends ought to be. Have the right friends." What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Have the right friend. In Jeremiah, it tells us, "Trust ye not in lying words." In Psalm 119:42, it says, "For I trust in thy word." You better trust the Bible above anyone else. You better trust the Bible above anyone else. If people will not submit to the truth of God's Word, they're in trouble. I don't care how intellectual they are. I don't care how wise they think they are. They're in trouble. Better submit to the Scriptures. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Verse 9 of that same 118th Psalm says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." You know, princes were well-educated people. They weren't the riffraff. They were the best educated princes, would they not be? Princes? Here it says, don't put confidence in princes. You better just put your confidence in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Glory. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's royalty. And the truth of the matter is, if you're in Christ, you're a king too. We are priests and kings. In Christ, we are somebody. So we better be careful what kind of people we get around. We better get around people that believe in going to church. Amen? You better keep your children around people that believe in going to church. Amen? And not starting their own church if they don't like something there. And often that's done because people, they think everything's wrong at that church, and the truth of the matter is they're not right. Some of the churches are straighter than they are. But you can't tell them that they're not as straight as the pastor or the whole church, because they're so full of self, you can't tell them anything. There are so many people come walking in our doors, and you can't tell them anything. Nobody can tell them anything. Even God can't tell them because they don't want to listen to anybody. And some of them are as young as they're almost half the age of Brother Lightsey. And they are, sure enough, half the age of your pastor. And they think they know more than me. I think they need to get down on their knees and not just get on their knees in a fake way, but just stay down there and get right with God. I'm telling you another thing. I've had people come to the altar, supposedly, in a fake posture, and then right afterwards in my church in New York, he stood up and said, I'd like to have a men's meeting over here. You better not try that around here. We'll just get a Brother Lightsey and a few others, and we'll bounce you right out of here. Say, well, I'm a member of the church. I don't care what you are. You act like a rebel, we'll treat you like a rebel. That man caused all kinds of trouble in my church in New York. I mean, all kinds of trouble. Thank God when we left there, even though a man came in there and he had a problem with a woman after that, they got a good pastor. He was a charismatic Catholic when I met him. David. I brought Gary to the church, his brother, in the van or vehicle, any vehicle I had for years. For years. And no pastor's worth a flip if he's not willing to go out and pick up Greg List for years and years and years and every other fellow out there on the fort. I'm not doing that now because I've got other fellows to do some of that, but I'm willing to go get them still. I want you to know I went and got those fellows out. Don't you fellows think you're doing so much, Mr. Grab or Mr. Metcalf or Mr. Hallman or any of you? I tell you, when I was a pastor of this church and I went out there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning time, every time, every revival meeting, every mission conference meeting, I went and picked up those single soldiers and I did it every time, and I never asked anybody else to do it for me. And I'll do it again if need be. I just don't want you to pity yourself so much. I'm so overworked. Not unless you come off of that roof like they did today, Mr. Grab and Mr. Metcalf. And they were so gracious, Brother Metcalf. I appreciate you, brother. I was getting tired. He said, why don't you stand up here and just receive the things up there? And I said, I think it's a good idea. We'd already taken a 10-minute break. They asked if we would have a break down. Yeah, let's take 10 minutes. They didn't say that. I said that. I mean, that stuff was heavy, 90 pounds apiece. And those two fellas, when they got off of there, they were so worn out. I don't know how they're even staying awake tonight. I'm telling you, it's good to do something for Jesus. We did that to save $90. I think a good hour's work only took us about an hour, didn't it? But about killed us, didn't it? I mean, all three of us receiving those things up there. But wasn't that nice, Brother Metcalf? He said, why don't you just receive them up here, preacher? And I said, that's a good idea. I tell you what, does you young fellas good, just work hard. I mean, every muscle in your body ache for Jesus. That'd be good. Save the church $90. That's a lot of money for an hour's work. Amen. Save $90, we can put it in something else out there. Now, we won't do that all the time. But I'll tell you, praise His name. Just give of yourself. Psalm 146. And I'm supposed to be done. That's the last one I have on the thing. That doesn't mean I'm done, though. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. Surely that's not talking about the Lord. And that son there is not capitalized. That's in Psalm 146, verse 3. The Bible says, trust not in chariots. Don't trust in man. Trust in the God of the preacher. Trust in the Christ of the preacher. Trust in the Christ of Pastor Hammonds. Amen? And the Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. A couple of stinking little rebels came out here and were taking Pastor Hammonds and calling him because he wouldn't let him in the building and wouldn't let him use the phone. Boy, Brother Metcalf went after him tooth and nail. He did offer him his cell phone, and they said, no, we don't like your cell phone. I think Brother Metcalf was about ready to work him over when they talked so nasty about Pastor Hammonds. When he came back, I said, good, just you guys got, just get him out of our church property. Talk about the man of God like he's dirt. And the problem was they were dirt. No respect for anything or anybody. Well, you better learn to honor those to whom honor's due. Amen? I tell you, young people today, they're looking for an early grave when they dishonor the old hoary head. They are looking for the judgment of God. These rock stars and all of them, there are exceptions to the rule, but it doesn't change the rule. The rule is if they don't honor their father and mother and give honor to older people, they'll die young. Once in a great while, they'll make it longer, but that's just the grace of God, and that's the exception to the rule. The rule is they'll die young. Rebels die young. Did you have that in your message? I don't know, you probably did, but it was good Wednesday night on rebels. Wasn't that good? I mean Sunday night. Wasn't that a good message? I've heard a lot of talk about it afterwards, too. We need to make sure we're not rebels. Mm-hmm. Brother Grab says he met one, was it last night? Or the other day, he said that he met one of the, he said, rebel, rebel, rebel! Just like, brother, I don't know if to them, but he said that to us. Oh, they're everywhere, aren't they? Rebels, they dress like rebels. They stink like rebels. Huh? They cut their hair like rebels. Amen? Yeah. I preach on everything around here, Brother Dormer. You know that? I'm going to keep it up by the grace of God. These women better not let their hair get too short. And don't be talking to me about how short is short. Just use your brains. A woman's to have long hair. And long is the opposite of short. And don't try to have a fight with me. Just do what the Bible says. And a man is not to have long hair. And don't argue with me about how long is long. You know what long is and you know what short is. And just do what the Bible says. And you start arguing with me, you're arguing with the Scriptures and with God, and it won't get you anything good at all. It'll get you trouble. And shame on the preachers that wouldn't preach what I just preached. Some of them will not preach on it. Since we've been dealing with Fairhaven, and think about Crown College, think about all these other schools that I know about, I want you to know that none of the schools that I know of anywhere teach that a woman's place is in the home anymore. I said Fairhaven didn't either. They did not at all. Did they? They're all smiling. Because you had to be so involved with the whole work. And if you didn't put your kids in their daycare, or if you didn't put your kids in their school, then they treated you like an outsider, though you were putting your tithe in anyhow. Yeah. I knew all that while you were up there. But at least they came back believing the King James Bible, because that's what they teach up there. If they had taught something else up there, they would have come back. Some of them would have come back, Brother Henry, without faith in the old book. But nobody at Fairhaven teaches this newfangled new translation junk. And so isn't it something? They all came back still believing the old King James Bible, just like they left. Say, how did they come back still believing that a woman's place was in the home? Well, because they just believed the Bible over what they were pushed down their throat. And they became an outsider right there in the middle of it all. Amen? A woman's place is in the home. I have Bible, friends. These go way back to the great grandfather of Ron Comfort and the others, and they'd have believed the same thing too. Amen? And Clarence Sexton and all of them. But they're not teaching it today. They're trying to prepare our girls to be professional women, and I don't see that in the Bible. I said, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that they have to be intellectuals to be pleasing to God. They need to be obedient to their husband. And they need to be kind to the poor. and be hospitable to poor people. And be soul conscious. And learn how to cook. And keep the house and take care of their man. And they need to learn another thing. None of these schools either teach that you ought to have a lot of children either. So if you think I'm down on one school around here, I'm down on all of them. Because I have a Bible. Why didn't they figure all this out? I want to say another thing. Almost none of them. By the way, Fairhaven was against the TV. And you know what? You came back still against the TV. And you came back still against the TV. Amen? Because they preached against the TV. And so did you, Brother Henry. Right? So they didn't hurt us too much, did they? They just didn't know what to do with that wicked son of theirs. Now they have other problems too. But I'm just saying, they were against TV. So when they came back, I didn't have one problem with the Newburns about TV. I didn't have one problem with the Stricklands about TV. I didn't have one problem with the Hallmans about TV. It doesn't matter what they believe at a school, doesn't it? I said, it does believe. It doesn't matter what. See, I told you I wasn't going to be through necessarily. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And this might be the best part of you, what you got tonight. Know the Scriptures, but we'd be able to trust in the Lord and not trust in professors and not trust in any church either. You can't trust in any church. You have to trust in the Christ of the church. He's the one that taught you about the evils of TV. He's the one that taught you about the place of the woman in the home. It might have been that I and some others and Dr. Vogelin and some others who have principles in this area, God used them, but it's all the Holy Spirit of God. Are you with me? Is it important for you to stay around a church that believes something? You go down to Greenville and find one church that believes what we do about those things I just covered, and I'd like to know what the name of it is. Amen? I'd like to know what the name of the church around Fairhaven is that believes like this church. I'd like to know the church around Crown College that believes like we do. I'd like to know the name of that church in these areas that I just covered. We didn't even cover dress standards and having loose clothes on women. Mm-hmm. And really being covered and being against mixed swimming. And where the president's wives don't go out and help their kids peddle papers in their britches. I heard that about two schools. The very president. And one of them's in North Carolina and the other one's in South Carolina. I heard it about both of them. I just don't think that anybody's heard that my wife has been out throwing papers around in her britches lately. And if you think that they're going to get help on how to dress when the president's wife and the one school, I heard the president's wife and her daughter were on campus in the wrong attire. And that was not Bob Jones either. One of them was, but it wasn't with the daughter. Oh, God. Anyhow. It was Ron Cover. Now, I hope that's wrong. I hope that's not true. But what when you hear about Jack Van Impe getting off the plane and his wife, he'd been a fundamentalist all those years, and he gets off the plane and his wife wrecks settles in her britches. I want to go over there and just give her a whipping! Or stick my finger in her face and say, you're a poor example to all Christianity! Because when the president of this United States of America, what's her name? Lady Bird Johnson, when she got real loose with her standards, it was a reflection on all the women in our whole country. I'm just saying this to say this. Listen to me. If you're going to look for perfection, you're not going to find it anywhere in a school. You're not even going to find it in a church. There's things that are wrong with this church. If you look hard enough, there's things that are wrong with this church because we're all weak. But we are trying to get a little more perfect and a little bit closer to the Lord. The only one that I know of that's pretty close to us is Ron Williams and his outfit up there. That's about the only place I know. I don't know what they teach about the woman's place in the home. I really don't know. But I think they train those girls. I tell you what, all the roll-off homes, what about the roll-off ministries? Why do they train all these girls to be so smart? Just train them to be a Christian. They have babies. Amen? Do you realize a lot of our young women out here need to have a baby in their arm? They need to feel like they're a mother. They need to be natural, and they need to nurse their babies, and they need to be in seclusion sometime and just be natural. I want to tell you this. It is natural for a woman to nurse her baby. And it's very normal for the other siblings in the home to know that mama is nursing that baby. Nothing wrong with that. Are you with me? Come on now. Don't look at me cross-eyed. I said even you know, the doctors tell you that. I think it's very important for the mothers, if they're able to nurse their babies. They need to feel wanted. The mothers need to feel important. And some of the husbands don't let them feel important about anything. Well, let them feel important about nursing the baby. That's a full-time feeding job, friends. Say, oh, no. Well, why don't they say something about this in these universities and these colleges? The Bible says so. Jesus, blessed are the paps that thou hast sucked. And Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Jesus told them about going up to Jerusalem. I want you to know it's a natural thing for a mother to nurse her baby. Is it not? Come on now. We've become so Americanized, we don't even know what common sense is anymore. The great percentage of every one of us that are over the age of 30, at least 40, we're all nursed by our mothers. And now women can. They go out to the job. They don't have a place to nurse your baby while you're out there taking money at the grocery store. So are you saying it's more important to make money and work at HEB grocery store than it is to be there and have your baby next to your heart and nurse your little baby? Come on now. Oh, you say, well, I didn't come to church to hear that. No, what did you come to church to hear? Well, something about unnatural things? Our whole society is becoming unnatural. Unnatural. And if we don't deal with some of these things when these kids are young, and David's 16, are you? 17, 16? He needs to hear this now. Because in 5 or 7 years, he'll be married, most likely. Right? 8 years, he'll be married. And everybody around the wife that he gets will be saying, oh, you don't want to have any babies. Yeah, you got to have your house. You got to have everything paid for. Who says so? I want book, chapter, and verse. My Jesus was born into poverty. All they could bring is turtle doves. They were poor. But they were rich in God. They were the choice of God to foster and to nurture and help. Well, amen. So why should we want to train, see Nathan get saved and Nathan run off to some other school, doesn't believe anything like we do at all? I don't care if it's Crown College. I heard one good thing about Crown. I did hear one good thing. We were down there when Patty was having her baby. Why are we getting all this? Because you need it. And I need to preach it so I'll remember it and hold to it stronger in the future. You know what they said down in Crown College? This girl came back from Crown College. I said, there was a girl in there. And all the other girls, they were talking in their prayer group about how they'd been defiled. All the other girls, and she was the only pure one in the whole group. You want that to happen to you? My Patty had somebody right in her room start talking about stuff like that. She said, out of my room, out of my room. My daughter Patty just lost the triplets. And they said, oh, she said, out of my room. You got to know Patty, you know what I'm talking about. Get out of here! You don't talk about that stuff in my presence. In my room. Out of dirty hearts, you get dirty talk. And people, they feel guilty, and they talk about stuff that they're sorry about even. I'm not saying they're always being evil and wanting to be evil, but they talk about things that they feel awful about. I like what Clarence Sexton told, because I asked the girl in the presence of her mom and dad there while they were back in there with the little babies. I said, what about the school there? And I mentioned this girl, how she was under pressure because all the other girls were telling about how they were not cured. Isn't that something in a prayer group to have to be discussed? Pastor Magnuson's daughter, Rachel, was the one. Sad, isn't it? You know what the girl told me? She said, Clarence Sexton got us all together at the beginning of the school. I don't know, something about Clarence Sexton. I hope you think he's the greatest guy going and everything, and I hope you think that he's God's instrument in this day and whatever. But anyhow, everybody has their own feelings. Okay, but anyhow, you know what? I like what he said. He took all the kids together and he said, I don't want to hear anything about what you used to do. And if we hear about it, you're going to know about it. And she says, so because he told us that, I haven't heard anything. She was in her freshman year there. Listen, that's a lot of wisdom. Leave that old junk outside and talk about what God's doing and the things of the Lord, the blessings of God. But I'd like to go a step further. I was already thinking about this all day. This isn't just coming out of my mouth because I'm feeling a little tired and I'm rambling. Because I don't feel tired. I feel like I could go on for 3 hours more. See, I let them do most of that work up there. The truth of the matter is, that we need to be biblical in this matter of what we do with our girls. I'm telling you, you read in the biographies of different men who felt called to be preachers. And God directed them here and there. Listen, the man all through the ages had to be the one who knew the scriptures. They didn't let women talk in the church. Amen? They couldn't preach. But listen, I want to see book, chapter, and verse for any in the Bible or even in the old days, in the Puritans' times, when you even hear about the girls going off to college. It was almost unheard of. I'm telling you, it was almost unheard of. Why would you want to train a girl up for 18 years and send her off to another place that has a total different philosophy than you do, than your church does? And the people around her, the great percentage of them have not been protected like your daughter has. Amen? All right. Sister Carrie said she didn't like it too much, her husband going off to school, and she's sitting there at home. And he was sitting around all those girls over there in the class. That's what she told me. So I don't mind. She doesn't mind. She's smiling. So. She said, here I am, big, having a baby. He's over there with all those good-looking girls. She said, I didn't like it. He better not look at any of them either. Well, they were there. Did they need to be there? Is that a preacher's school? What is it? I had to report one of my teachers in school when I was in college because he said something about a girl in the class. And this is a Christian college, but you're not going to have perfect. Teachers aren't perfect. Sunday school teachers aren't perfect. Christians aren't perfect. But there's certain things you just don't say in a mixed class. So just have it all boys and you can just say what you want to do. And even there you need to be careful. Well, what are you saying then, preacher? Just trust in the Lord and let's forget this philosophy of the world. And let's just... The philosophy of the world is that your daughter... Here's the philosophy of the world. The world wants your daughter to become a celebrity or a Hollywood star. or a singer on the Grand Ole Opry. Huh? Come on. Or a secretary who is taking the job from her boss because of her great and quality ways in regard to relationship to money and investments. All I can say is a bunch of bunk on the whole thing. I don't think it's scriptural. The only thing it speaks about is that Mary was a pure girl. She was the choice of God. And she was humble. Check her prayers out. She was humble. She knew she was poor. But she knew that God had blessed the poor and He'd take care of the rich in His time. What is the thing that was great about Mary? She kept these things up in her heart. She did what Joseph told her to do, and she did what God told her to do. And she believed in the Lord. And she was there, praise God, when Jesus went to Calvary. You say, was she there? Yes. John said, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy... And he said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Well, are you trusting like Job completely? Or are you trusting... Well, do you really want your girl to go to school so she can get a good paying job? Come on now, is that not the world? That's all they talk about. Oh, my daughter, she's going up. Oh! She's got three little children and they're just precious. I thought about my Linda. We're not going to brag on Linda all the time, but I mean, you ought to go by the house there once in a while. It's just sheer excitement. I mean, even if they're all sick, it's still sheer excitement. I mean, something's going on all the time. Are you with me? And yet the world says, and not only the world, but the professors say by their actions in the size of their families that they don't want to have but two or three children. Come on now. Are you with me? So don't you expect to go down there at any of these schools and get the philosophy of the old days, because it's not there. Because it's not practiced by their directors and their presidents nor their teachers. I mean, if Ron Comfort had a big family, I'd have heard about it. Now, I don't know how many kids he's had. Just pray for Ron Comfort. He's a wonderful man. I got right with God under him. I praise God for him. Amen. Thank God for him. Thank God for Clarence Sexton. Thank God for Dr. Bob III. Thank God for all these men of God. Amen. And God's given them a job to do. Pray for them. Don't try to find fault with them all. But the truth of the matter is, when I think about the school I graduated from, what number was Dr. Bob Sr.? Can anybody tell me? He was 11 or 13. Was it 11 or was it 13? Huh? Around 11. He was the 11th child. So if he'd have done like the normal people, we wouldn't even had a school like that. I wouldn't have had a school like that to go to. If they didn't act natural back then. Are you with me? Hello? Oh, some people say, oh, you wouldn't preach on that preacher. Oh, yes, I will. Because no one else is. And the young couples get together and they don't want to have kids, and that's sin. I said it's sin. Make it a misgiving if you want it sin. If they want wealth and have their house paid for and their car paid for rather than having children that God would give them, it's sin! Amen. You want to make sure your wife doesn't run off with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along? Just keep her having a little baby every little while. And I'll tell you, nobody will want to look at her. Amen. But God will smile on her. And I'll tell you what, women just look like a different person when they're carrying that little gift from heaven under their heart. They just seem to glow, don't they, in a special way. Come on now, just be serious. They just kind of glow, don't they? Huh? Huh? Well then, Brother Christopher, why'd you hear all that junk out there in California? It's unscriptural. Why did I hear it in New York? Why did you hear it in the Carolinas and Georgia? Because the devil's plumb everywhere. I got to go a step further. Somebody say, oh, you're always doing that. Don't get yourself fixed. I said that to one lady. She said, oh, don't say that. I said, fixed. You know how your pastor is. If you're fixed, you're fixed. Amen? That's what they say about a dog. But we're not dogs. We're not cattle. And I tell you, I've got me a Bible, and I've been reading through it recently, and it's a blessing. You know what? I think it was Brother Grab, my son-in-law. And you look at Matthew Henry and all those comments, and he made them in Egypt, so not an animal or a woman or a man was barren. That they all had kids. It was a blessing. A blessing. No, you were number 13. Is that right? Brother Hugh Wall, what child were you? Nine. You were nine, but he had 13 children. 13 children. He was number nine. Now, in the present day philosophy, we wouldn't have even had the privilege of seeing you get saved. If your parents didn't act normal and natural. And let God give them the babies. And little Hugh came along. And weren't they excited? Little Hugh came along. And weren't we excited when he came along here at 71 years old and God saved him? Amen. Now, you couldn't go to heaven and enjoy all those blessings of heaven if you were just in this present day. You wouldn't have been around, sir. Because they don't have 13 kids anymore. They don't act normal anymore. See? See how our philosophy is ruining our whole world? There wouldn't have been a Bob Jones University. Because Dr. Bob was 11, I think. I think he was 11. Number 11. I know it was over 10. He was the 11th child. And people say, well, you shouldn't preach about this. I think you need to preach 10 times as much of it because nobody's preaching it. And almost, you wouldn't believe the precious people have come in here and they've already had different ways so that they can't have children anymore. And they're sorry about it. Almost every one of them are sorry about it. Whether they want to have another child or not, they're just sorry that they did what they did. Isn't that right? So what I'm saying, young ladies, I don't care what your husband says. Suddenly, you just tell him, leave me alone. Even if he's not saved, amen? Because God could allow him to be killed. And then you'd get married to some wonderful Christian man, and he'd want to have a baby by you, and he couldn't have it. Listen, that stuff's unnatural, and it's of the devil. I said it's unnatural, and it's of the devil, and it causes a lot of confusion. And just let God give you what he wants to give you. There was a day when they had a large family and it was a blessing from heaven. Amen. We're all upside down and backwards. And trying to get it back up straight is a real job because it's almost foreign to even the people that hear it once in a while, like at a church here. Because none of the churches and none of the schools that I know of anywhere are teaching what we are teaching here. Do you think we need to start our own little college? Even if we only have 12 to 70, that's all Jesus had too. Hallelujah. That'll be enough, and they were all men. He had 12 and he sent them out. He had 70 and he sent them out. I wouldn't mind to have 12 like Jesus chose and send them out. Or the 70 and they came back with great rejoicing. I want to know, does it matter what you're taught? I am forever grateful. By the way, my son went to Fairhaven Baptist College too. My son, Stephen, still does not have a TV. And as far as I know, my son, David, does not have a TV. And as far as I know, my Patty doesn't have a TV. I think they almost got it out of the home there. The director said you can just kind of do what you want to do. At least they're trying. And I know Lynn and Joe don't have one. Amen? Amen? Scott, he doesn't have one, does he? No? Amen? And Brother Metcalf, you don't have a TV? Oh. Well, how in the world did you get that idea when there's no schools or churches across the whole country but Ron Williams that I know anything about? You think it's a brother Metcalf? You think it's right for a woman to stay at home and be a keeper at home and not make money and not help her husband? Well, I think that's almost cruel. Don't you think she should help a little? Well, everybody else tell them that. We tell them, stay home and just pull your belt in and just trust God. Or get two jobs, sir, and keep your wife at home and let her have the children and let her take care of the babies. You know what? You know what? A lot of our Convention Baptist churches, they have the deacons in the nursery sitting on the floor, men my age, playing with the little kids and changing diapers in the nursery. They've gone crazy. Bunch of bonkers. They've gone nuts. It's unnatural. We don't want you in the nursery, Brother Hugh. We want you out here smiling. I'm saying, preach it, brother, preach it. Amen? The women go in the nursery. Common sense tells you that. And nature tells you that. That the young girls should be taking care of the babies. Why? Because one day they'll have their own. They need to know how to take care of a baby. Use that thing sitting on your shoulder. And go to the book. Go to the book. Amen? May God help us. May God help us. Every time I go into, I know there's times, I know there's exceptions to the rule. I know that. I hate to go into a men's room and have the baby changing thing there. It just makes me sick. It did be when I first saw it, and I still think it's stupid. Man, how many years have I been putting up with that, Brother Lightsey? People are nuts. I mean, they're plumb loco. That's in Spanish, loco. Done gone loco. I tell you, this book will keep you from going loco. And the whole world will think you're loco, though. You realize, hey, do you realize this? Now, get this really. Get this tonight. Now, we're far from perfect this year. But you take this sermon and you send it to all your relatives. And you send it to all your friends at these different colleges and these different places of higher learning. And I think there is a place for higher learning. And I think our boys need to learn all they can learn. And if they have a real great mind, I think they need to acquire all the skills and knowledge they can for the glory of God. Especially our men. And I was so thankful when I heard my Bethany coming home. And she's going to take typing because if she gets married, she needs to take typing. Then I like the other one. I like the music there. Band. I like, man, she played that trumpet today. And I was plumb proud of her. Oh, she didn't hardly miss a note. I mean, she played it like. And then we had to get running somewhere and she played a little faster and she didn't miss a note, even playing it faster. She's not too bad on the piano, to tell you the truth. She's starting to pick up. I like the music. I mean, she's far from Jenna, but she is improving. And then there was a couple other things in there. Spanish. Oh, I said, you better take Spanish. In fact, I said, take 2 or 3 or 4 years of it. I don't care. Because everybody, then you can witness to everybody. You can go down to Mexico and feel like you're at home. And maybe she'll be a missionary there to all the Latin American countries. But we better be careful. This, just send this message to all your friends. And they'll know that you've done flipped your wig forever to sit under a man that believes what I believe. I believe this a long time. But I think we're getting more solid and more firm about it every day. Isn't it important, these things? I said, isn't it important for our kids to have mom at home? When they come home, that mama's at home? I'll tell you what. When you go out to the secular workplace and you work your 40, 50, 60 hours a week out there and neglect your children, I'll tell you what. You are just dethroning yourself, ladies. You're taking yourself off the throne of what God made you for. Only you can have a baby. Only you can take care of those little ones or the ones that God puts under your tutelage. Only you can nurture those teenage girls. And do they need help? Amen? Only you can be there and wipe their tears away and hug them and be there. Daddy doesn't know how to do that. He wants to take the football and throw it right into their belly and see if they can take it. Not to hurt them, but make them feel like a man. You know what I'm talking about? Put it up, boy. Huh? How many haven't done that with their boy at least once in their life? Come on. Or let's get on an arm wrestle or something. Huh? Come on now. They want our girls to be a bunch of men, and they want our boys to be a bunch of sissies. And if you'll keep listening to them, that's exactly what they'll end up. Let's have prayer. Father, we love Thee. Thank Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee for Job and his complete trust in Thee. How, dear Lord, he shames most all of us, dear Lord, and myself. When I think about all he lost, and yet his confidence did not wane one bit, surely, Lord, he got discouraged, because we all do. But, dear Lord, he looked higher. He looked and knew that his Redeemer lived. He retained his integrity. He cursed his day, but he didn't curse his God. Dear Lord, help us to trust not in man, not in princes. Dear Lord, not even to trust in preachers, but in trust in the God of the preachers, the Christ of the preachers, the Christ of the church, the God of the church. Oh, Father, help us in these days of compromise and everything's so mixed up. Lord, I want to thank Thee for this brief lesson by Brother Shea on alcohol. What a great thing. What a great word of knowledge and help that has been and will be for our young men in the days ahead. Dear Lord, for any nugget of truth that we can gather from here or there, help our men to keep reading and studying and praying and be in the book of God and be there for their wife and be there for their children. That their girls and boys will look up and say, my daddy's a real Christian. My daddy reads his Bible. My daddy prays. My daddy's a man of God. My mama's a woman of God. Dear Lord, these are the things that will count forever. Help us, Lord. Now with our heads bowed and eyes closed, everyone here say, I need to be saved. Pray for me. Any little, all. Just raise it, take it down, we'll pray for you. God bless these many little ones. And then is there one here, you say, I'm saved, but I need prayer as a Christian. Pray for me. Yes, many hands, I'll raise mine. I have needs to be closer to the Lord. Father, help us, we pray. Help these that are lost to be saved and really convicted and converted at a young age by Thy grace. May we have the right preachers come by that will bring them under conviction from the Word that they get saved. And may we preach the right things so they'll get saved. And then, Lord, we pray for believers. Help us all to be drawn closer to Thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.